What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
A late night for anybody that watched the game. A late night for those that traveled back. Sal Capaccio is up with us relatively early. Sal, good morning. Thank you for the early appearance, despite not a lot of sleep. And I wonder if you tossed and turned about the game itself, 38-0. The Bills got roasted by the Bears. Preseason outing. You know, it is what it is. You've got your piece up at WGR550.com. Arrow up and arrow down. We'll get to the game. I also want to make sure we spend time, Sal, on the joint practice, because you can kind of tell the tale of what happened there. And that might be, something that makes Bills fans feel a little better, because that's where the starters played.
Yeah, good morning. I'll start with what you started with, which is getting back. So just a little, insight into how it works. Getting back, a lot of these stadiums are distances away from airports and things like that. And, when I talked to you and we texted the other day, I said, I think we'll probably get in around 2:30, 2:45. Wasn't until 3:30 a.m. last night, actually. It was a little later night. So, yeah, 3:30. But I did get a little bit of sleep. Yes, I did get a little sleep on the plane because, to get to the next part, I wrote my arrow up, arrow down column before we even took off, because literally I'm like, what am I going to write about arrow up? Well, not much. I added three things, and I could have, as I wrote on arrow up, arrow down, if I did everything for arrow down, it would probably look like a supermarket receipt for a family of five. And you'd just be going looking at all these lists. Right. So I basically said pretty much everything. And then I did add a few specifics. I mean, guys, last night was just a night that the Buffalo Bills did not have a very good showing whatsoever, and that's an understatement, maybe an overstatement, whatever you want to say. You get it. A rough showing last night, no doubt about it. And I do think a lot of it might go back to the joint practice on Friday. This is not an excuse. This is not acceptable when I say this. So I'm not excusing, I'm not accepting. But I do think it looked like a really, really tired team who felt that, they played their game on Friday and kind of just, they didn't have a lot of energy. They did not bring it last night, no doubt about it. It's not an excuse. It's not acceptable. Sean McDermott said it wasn't just the ones against the twos. Once it's twos against twos and threes against threes, you got to be better than what the Bills were last night. But I would say that, going back to Friday, going back to being there Thursday, 4 days in Chicago, a long week, that last night kind of resembled a team, I think, that was at the end of that, and it's not an excuse, but I do think it happened.
Yeah, it wasn't a great day, Sal, when your arrow up let off with the punter. Was the first thing mentioned about arrow up yesterday?
No doubt, and he was actually pretty good, Brad Robbins. I think he's having a good preseason, no doubt about it. But really, we start with what went wrong, right? And that was everything. I mean, you look at the numbers, the stats. Bills gave up 31 first downs. The Bears beat the Bills in yardage 528 to 180. The Bills went 0 of 8 on third down. I believe last week they were 1 of 7, 1 of 9, somewhere in there. They've converted one third down in two games, guys. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. It doesn't matter who's playing offense. You have to be better than that. So, no doubt, there were a lot of things last night that coaches – what's the dream scenario in a preseason game, right? You go out there and, you do some things right, but you do enough wrong, and it gives the coaches a real good chance to go and say, this isn't acceptable, and we have to have a better week of practice. Well, that happened, but it multiplied. That's not – what Sean McDermott's looking for. And he said it after the game, right? You have to be better than that. And luckily and thankfully, it is a preseason game. And they'll have a chance to go back to Tampa next week and try to, have a better showing for at least that group. I mean, I don't think the starters will play. You never know. But the people who are on the field, they need to have a better showing.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. You can give a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. So it feels like even though it's a 38-0 blowout and there's lots to get to, and it also didn't mean anything, and we want to get to the joint practice, that the big conversation is going to be about the safety position, because Cole Bishop, DeMar Hamlin, we know that's a concern kind of going into this game, going into the season, that they're not, that they are under-repped. I guess that's the way you'd say it. They're under-repped. What do you make of what happened at safety last night and where the Bills' level of confidence might be in that starting tandem by opening day?
Well, I thought it was rough last night because I didn't think Cole Bishop played particularly well in the limited time he was in. And I know that he's had limited reps, but there was a missed tackle in there. There was a play at the touchdown play that, you know, he could have been better on, took a better angle. No doubt. I do think a lot of it has to do with missing time, missing reps. But at the same time, he's on the field now. And, you know, those are plays that he's expected to make. Those are spots where he's expected to be. You ask, you know, how confident and comfortable the team is with that starting tandem. And I'm going to tell you, I think from what I saw last night, I would not be surprised if Jordan Hancock starts to creep in to get a little bit of look here, guys. I think Jordan Hancock has looked better than Cole Bishop. Now, some of that is the time on task for Bishop is not as much. Hancock has been there, and now he did get injured last night. Hopefully he's okay. Shoulder injury, he told reporters after that he thinks he's good. But, you know, they'll look at that today, and we'll see. I think it's a concern right now. I think it's a concern. That being said, we're still 3 weeks away from opening night, right? I mean, last night was the three. If you go back to last night, it's 3 weeks from last night is when the Bills play their first game. That's still a lot of time to get Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp a lot more reps. And I mean, as I sit here now, I'd still be surprised if Cole Bishop wasn't the starter and Taylor Rapp wasn't the starter. But I do think that the Bills have to take a hard look at it and say, okay, what do we have here and what's the best course? What did Sean say after the game? It was interesting. And he said he was asked about Cole Bishop. He was asked about, and then he basically said, take a look at it. You know, obviously they're going to look at the film, see where we are and see what we need. I thought that was just an interesting way to phrase it, to be honest with you.
All right, so I feel like you saying that gives me license to say, like, I thought the same thing. Like, is he talking about what's out there on the market to help with the position?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question, Jeremy. I thought the same thing. Like, see what we need. And he could be referring to that. I'm assuming, knowing Sean, he's referring to what do we need to do here? Like, what do we need? Do we need to give him more time? Do we need more practice time, more reps next week? Do we need to give more Jordan Hancock more of a look? Move Cam Lewis back there. Cam Lewis didn't play last night. He's hurt. He's normally a nickel corner or a safety. See what we need. It could be, though. I mean, maybe that's what he's talking about. We have to take a look. This is the time. This is definitely the time period where teams are taking a look at what's out there trade-wise, see what shakes free agency, guys getting cut over the next, you know, week and a half now after next week's game. So I just think that anything's got to be on the table because right now you're not getting what you hope you'd get from that position with those two guys being injured and then what you saw last night.
Hancock sale, like mentioning him, like getting more, potentially more run. Has he just looked that impressive? Because I've heard you talk about this for years, how the Bills usually treat that position, and a rookie coming in and playing, not even week one, but at some point during their rookie season. I mean, that's not something they typically do, not just for a guy that's a rookie, but I was going back last night and like he played only like 1/4 of his snaps in college at safety. So not to say he's never done it, but even the position, it wasn't a full-time position for him before he got to the Bills.
Right, and you know, we talked about how the Bills would use him in different roles. I believe actually he was playing nickel when he got injured last night, by the way.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't playing safety at the time. So they are still moving him around. Excuse me. I think he was playing, I think Wandae Owens and Derek Forrest might have been playing safety on that play. I have to go back and exactly look. And I think he was playing nickel because that would explain where he was on the play, actually, trying to make the play, and then he wound up hurting his shoulder. But, Joe, I think you're right. He has pretty much been much more at safety. Now, some of that is circumstance, right? Some of that is Cole Bishop hasn't been available, Taylor Rapp hasn't been available, and now Cam Lewis hasn't been available. So no doubt about that. I also think that he's just kind of taken to that position pretty well. I thought he played pretty well last week in the game. He had an interception against the Giants, obviously, and then things have kind of grown here. So, and then after the Giants game last week, I remember talking to him in the locker room, and he used interesting phrasing when I asked him about putting all this on his plate. This is Jordan Hancock. And he said, he used the word transition. And I think he meant from nickel to safety. Like, he was saying it almost like, I'm now more of a safety, which isn't really where I've normally played. So I think that's interesting. So I do think he at least has to be on the table from what I've seen from not only him, but Cole Bishop right now.
Sal Capaccio with us on the Wester Hotline. So Mike White gets the start at quarterback, Sal, last night. Trubisky plays in the second half. Is there anything you could take away from last night about the backup quarterback job? Really, Trubisky's kind of felt like the incumbent, the lead, and maybe White would have to take it from him. And if that's the case, it didn't seem like White did that much last night.
I agree with that. It's such a hard curve to grade on because of this reason. I thought Trubisky was better last night, but one of the reasons he's better is he's more mobile and he can keep plays alive. But with that offensive line, you had to be mobile and keep plays alive last night. Let's be honest, right? They just didn't have a great night. Let's just say, though, if Josh Allen, something were to happen to him, are you going to have your quarterback running around as much back there? And maybe in that situation, if you're keeping Mike White clean, you know, you could still say that he could be the better option of throwing the football. I'm not sure. I thought Mike got hurt last night by a couple of drops. I give Elijah Moore an arrow down. He dropped two balls right in his hands. He drops a tunnel screen. He drops a pass about, 5 yards, 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. What was thrown a little bit low, but he's got to hold on to that. He also didn't have great protection, Mike White. That being said, he also missed a couple of throws that he could have had and maybe should have had. So Mike White, I think last night, showed what he is, which is he's a guy that he has a live arm. And when he's back in the pocket, he can sling it. He also can have a situation or passes and plays where you're wanting more and saying, man, you got to make that. And then Mitch Trubisky showed what he is. The guy can keep plays alive. He can move around. He can kind of give you a baseline of, okay, right, we got through that one. But, you know, you're not going to wow you in a lot of ways. So I thought Trubisky was better than White last night. I don't know if it's a fair grading curve, you know what I mean? Because of having the offensive line situation and the fact that also White, like I said, did get hurt by a couple of things that were not his fault.
That's going to make it tough for him, right? Like, I mean, because that's going to be the case next week. And I don't know that they've looked different enough in camp for White to overtake him. So,
right.
I mean, really, you would expect next week in Tampa to kind of have the same situation, I would imagine.
Probably right. I don't know who's going to play in Tampa next week, but you're right, Joe. I mean, look, to a man in the locker room, like, at least I'll say this. I know it's preseason. I mean, heck, Frank Gore, I'll tell you, I said to Frank Gore, you can hear the audio. I said to him, you know, obviously scoreboard doesn't matter. And he said, the scoreboard always matters. Like, he was like, no, we're trying to win games. And I get it. Like, these guys, to their credit, they were not happy at all last night. It wasn't like a jovial locker room. Ha-ha, we got through a preseason game. Let's go on. Like, to a man, the people I talked to last night talked about they need to be better next week. Like, they want to go out on the field and put something better next week on film. And to me, that's okay. You do that, then the offensive line's got to be better. You got to protect your quarterbacks better, and let's see what happens. And to your point, Joe, right, of what it looks like next week. Maybe you get a little bit more of a fair, you know, type of comparison here next week if they can do that.
Sal Capaccio, you can read his Arrow Up, Arrow Down piece at our website, WGR550.com. Heavy on the arrow down. Sal, who else is on that list? You know, we've talked a little bit about the safeties. You mentioned Elijah Moore there. Who would you like to really, I mean, highlight? I guess it's tough, but Ryan Vandermark made your list. I mean, penalties, 10 for 96 yards. So what else there?
Yeah, and listen, again, these were just I picked out a few specifics. I guess I could have gone a lot deeper, but just the overall team, there were a lot of things. But Ryan Vandermark is on this list because he just did not have a good night. He was called for two false start penalties on the very first drive. And then he was also beaten a couple of times, at least one that was really resulted, I think, in a sack or at least very close to a sack and a pressure there that you could see pretty clearly. Again, not an excuse, but I will tell you sometimes what happens is with the offensive line and when you have different guys that you're playing next to you're not used to, you have a different cadence from a different quarterback you're not used to, a center. All those things can matter. It doesn't. You still have to be better than that, right? Like last week, Dawson Knox gets the false start in the first play of the game. And I can tell you guys, I mean, a lot of times that comes from the fact that he's got a different quarterback, that the cadence is just a tick off than what it normally is from Josh Allen. In this situation, you're in, yes, I know that it's not super loud, but you're on a road, you're in a road stadium. You're not playing with the same group you're normally used to. So he moves a little bit early. He's still got to be better than that, right? He's got to know and adjust whatever he has to adjust to make sure that doesn't happen. But Ryan Vandermark right now, as I've said, you know, this past week, is becoming a really important player on the Bills roster because they have injuries at the tackle position and on the offensive line, I should say, overall. And, you know, Tylan Grable is still out. He's still been in concussion protocol for over a week, guys. So that's just something that, you know, is concerning. He has not returned yet. And we know that Alec Anderson is still out. Yes, an interior guy. Connor McGovern did not suit up last night. He told reporters after the game that he tweaked his hamstring on Friday. He thinks that he'll be okay, but that's why he did not suit up at all for the game. So I know Vandermark isn't a center. He's not an interior guy, but the overall offensive line, the depth right now is being tested, and that's a guy that you might have to rely on.
Sal, for your arrows up, you've got some at the website, of course. Can we include the joint practice? Because
sure.
I saw plenty of that. So that people didn't see that, right? People that watched that game last night saw that game. That's the taste that's put in their mouth. So the story of joint practice between the Bears and the Bills on Friday was a slow start from the offense, but ultimately they found things.
Yeah, and by the way, I did have Frank Gore Jr. on my arrow up, except right. for the fumble. He had a nice game. He had 81 total yards from scrimmage, 6.4 yards a carry. He ran well. He caught the ball, but you can't fumble in that situation. You got to be better at tucking it away, and he knows that. But I did put him there along with Jordan Hancock. Friday was a good day, I thought, for both the Bears and the Bills. Both teams got a lot of work done. And look, I mean, to me, the joint practice on Friday was like, I always say, you guys know this, like if you could give me a preseason game or a joint practice, a scrimmage, I would choose the joint practice or scrimmage because I think you get more work done that way. I think you get to put your guys in certain positions you want to see them in and you can script everything. They went for over 2 hours against the Bears. And by the way, it was almost all teamwork. It was almost all offense against defense, 7-on-7, 11-on-11. And they were working on two different fields, Bears offense on one, Bills offense on the other. And it was a lot of great work. I mean, you guys got more reps in that than they did last night. The starters definitely did, of course, because they didn't play for the Bills. But even a lot of the backups, they seemed to get more reps in that joint practice than they did in the game. So to me, yes, it's important to go out there and play well, right? But I think the practice was super important. And they both got a lot of work done. And I liked it the way the Bills played in that physically. A lot of the talk from the Bears media was how the Bears have been super physical, very intentionally physical throughout their training camp and preseason. They had the Dolphins in last week for a joint practice and how they kind of beat them up, you know, during the joint practice. And that was a big talk. And I asked a Bears reporter to compare, and he said night and day. So the Bills matched them physically. And Sean McDermott said that after the joint practice, and even before, I think. He said, he said, you know, this is a team that's been very physical. We're going to have to match that. We know that, and their energy. And I thought the Bills did that. There was a lot of good. There was some bad at the joint practice. I thought the real good was the pass rush. The Bills' pass rush looked good in that joint practice. And I thought they did some nice things last night at times, too, by the way. I thought Landon Jackson had a better night last night, for sure. He bounced back. Wasn't as good of a night for the two younger interior guys, but I thought Landon Jackson. So, you know, you get a little bit of both there. But in the joint practice, I thought the Bills' pass rush was good. I didn't love their pass coverage, though. And especially, you guys saw last night, that mid-level coverage has been concerning for me, where it's just over the linebackers. It's not super far down the field, but it's far enough, and you're getting chunk plays out of it. Like, that, to me, wasn't great. Then the Bills' red zone offense was very good, I thought, in the joint practice. Keon Coleman had a nice catch for a toe-tap touchdown from Josh. There were a couple other touchdowns, you know, different quarterbacks throwing them. Trubisky was very good in the red zone in that particular setting. And then there was the play down the field. You guys have probably seen the video to Keon Coleman, who just cooked his guy off the line of scrimmage. But I think overall, what I take away from the weekend is this. Buffalo Bills did a really good job on Friday to have a really nice joint practice. I think he got a lot of work in. I thought it was a super positive for them. And then you get to Sunday night, and it just did not go their way. And you hope that you take more out of what they got in that joint practice than you do on Sunday night, especially with the starters, obviously, because they didn't play Sunday night.
You know, it's funny, Sal, like this joint practice, the uptick in joint practices, the Bears had two, the Dolphins had two, like with two different teams. And I've kind of come to the conclusion that teams like it because they can protect their quarterbacks. There's another thing to like about it. You know, you need preseason because you got to sell tickets and you got to have television networks and all that, blah, blah, blah. The other nice thing about a joint practice is there's no scoreboard. So whatever happens, your fans aren't going to freak out that the score was, you know, 52-10 because they actually don't put the numbers up on the board unless you're like a reporter that's doing it on the side. So yet another thing to like about joint practice is if the Bills won by 50 or the Bears won by 50, no one really has to wear that as a bad practice because they just feel like they got things done.
No, that's right. I agree. And it's cool because every joint practice is different. There was, like I said, it was all team. Like, there was no receiver DB one-on-one. Last year against Pittsburgh, they did that a lot. They had a whole session of one-on-one, DB against wide receiver. They didn't do that in this joint practice. There was a pass rush drill. We couldn't see it. I couldn't see it from where I was, the media. We were in a certain area staging, and I couldn't see it over there, but there was some going on. But they didn't do a ton of it. They did a lot of team. You know what else they did? They did a really good punt drill, and I wrote about this afterwards. I have never seen sidelines go as crazy watching gunners. It was amazing. Like, it was like a gunner drill, right? So you'd have that was a punt drill, but you'd have your gunner lining up and you'd have two defensive backs on him and they'd punt the ball and the gunner had to try and beat the defensive back. The defensive back had to try and hold the gunner up. And every time either a Bears player or a Bills player won kind of that rep, their sideline went crazy for the guy. It was awesome. Super good energy. And the one I really remember, I talked with Tyrell Shavers about it last night. You guys have the audio if you want. After the game, I said, hey, I want to go back to what happened on Friday. So he's on the outside as a gunner, and he's got two Bear defensive backs on him. And the first guy, he just physically, like, beats off the line. Like, he kind of gets into him a little bit, and he kind of, like, sheds the block. And then the other guy comes over, and he does this, like, swim move and comes under him and clear shot down the field to the punt returner. But as soon as he got past the second guy, I mean, you would have thought he had a pick six. The skyline went crazy. He gets there, and he starts flexing. It was just great. It was great energy.
Yeah. By the way, Shaver, so he makes a couple more catches last night. So Samuel returned on Friday, and then with more or a couple drops, I wonder if the bottom of the receiver depth chart gets more interesting this week.
Yeah, me too. I know. I like Tyrell Shavers too, and I understand why everybody likes Tyrell Shavers. He makes catches. He makes plays. I still wonder if he does enough to be on the roster. And I think in order for him to be there, he'd have to be the sixth receiver. But does what he does beyond playing wide receiver justify having him as a sixth wide receiver? Maybe. I don't know. And you bring up Elijah Moore, Joe. I still think Elijah Moore's on this team. The money is part of it. No doubt about that. But, you know, they're using him a lot. And yes, he did have a couple drops, but he had a real nice practice too. He had a touchdown on one of those tunnel screens, the one you saw last night he dropped. It was maybe a little different in the screen, but anyway, he caught the ball and he had a really nice touchdown. So Curtis Samuel's the guy here that I'm looking at. He's got to get on the field. He's got to perform. He did practice. He did not play last night. I did tweet out the snap counts, by the way, if anybody wants to see the snap counts, a lot of them obviously from last night. So if you want to see the snap counts last night, but yeah, I mean, Curtis Samuel's one of the guys that he did not wind up playing last night. He did warm up. He was in uniform, but he did not play.
Anything from Samuel in that joint practice cell?
Nope. He just did warm-ups. He did not practice, actually. So he's getting there. He's just not quite fully there yet. So we'll see. And then who is the other one last night? We did have injury last night? Was there – I'm trying to think of the – oh, Caden Prather. Caden Prather last night. I don't know. We didn't get an official injury on him. He ran into the locker room. He came out, and then he went into the blue tent, and then he came out with trainers. He was doing some stuff on the side. He had just returned, so you hope he's okay because Joe is bringing up the bottom end of the receiver depth chart.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline after the Bills lost to the Bears in Chicago, 38-0. Well, that safety conversation sure sounds like it's real.
Yeah.
You could say preseason pledge. This is beyond just a game in Chicago, suggesting that
a fifth-round rookie could maybe get his way into the lineup at some point.
Is maybe in the mix back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year at Ohio State for Jordan Hancock, he had 561 total snaps, 128 of them were at safety. 128 out of 561.
Okay.
So he's done it.
That's not none. I mean, that's
it's
a good.
Not none.
That's not 10. That's
year
a good,
year
that's
before
a good
592 snaps, 45 were at safety. So again, yeah, he's done it. But man, it would be impressive for him to kind of transition from one position to another here and find his way into the lineup. Would it be impressive? I would hope it's that, and not by default he's getting it because, you know, they don't want to play DeMar Hamlin again.
Right. And listen, people are going to have faith in whatever receivers make the team. If Shavers doesn't make the team, I don't exactly want to be over here crying for him, but the Bills will have the irony is a receiver core that is often talked about because they don't invest often. Draft capital in the group would be filled out based on contracts. These are the guys we signed. We have to have these guys. Mm-hmm. It has to be these ones. It has to be Samuel. It has to be Moore.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I mean, that's,
yeah, it's like almost $10 million in guaranteed money between the two of them. No, Samuel's isn't that much.
Samuel's was AAV is eight or nine. And
yeah, but even his guarantee is six. So it's actually like 8.5 guaranteed and between the two.
Kind of they sign these middle free agent deals for guys that
yeah.
have injury issues or you know don't put it all together and hey. Kind of stuck in this spot. And again, maybe if Shavers were a little more dynamic and doing more out there, it would be tougher because he's getting limited reps. It's not like he's catching passes from Josh Allen, by the way. Does he get a chance for that?
Shavers?
Shavers is making it work with the backup quarterbacks.
Yeah. Hey, listen,
how does it work with Josh Allen out there?
I hear that. I do. Like, I still liked the Moore signing. Part of the preseason pledge, I think, would be I want you to keep Moore on the roster. I don't want you to cut Elijah Moore because he had two drops in a 38-0 preseason when Mike White's throwing it behind him for a screen that was going to go for 2 yards anyway.
But if you want to find your way to getting rid of Samuel and keeping Moore, is that not even worse than the preseason pledge? I mean, Elijah Moore's career highlight so far this year is the 2 months before anybody started playing football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he started to get really, really pumped up and a hype train. And, you know, like you said, like, I liked the signing at the time too, but there's not a lot there. So any preseason pledge about Moore has to apply to Samuel, too. Samuel did produce for them down the stretch last year.
He did?
I don't know.
But he can't stay healthy.
Sal's tone there is like, if you're a Shavers fan, like get ready for him to be on the practice squad again.
Yeah.
I also think he's probably safe there, which is...
That he wouldn't get poached?
Nope, I don't think so. There's so many good receivers in the league, and like teams feel great about their fifth guy. They're not going to come poach Shavers and put him on an active spot. It's four games, right? Is what it is. I think what Sal said.
I think so.
He's got to be on the active roster for four games. He'll text me if that's not right. Please do, Sal. All right, 803-0550, your phone calls. Reaction to what Sal had to say. If you got anything for us, you can throw it our way. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
There should be a fashion judge that takes strokes off your score when you show up. When Day shows up yesterday in those pants, there's a panel of judges that all write down scores, and he has to start the day like three strokes behind.
Oh, wow. Look at that outfit, Jason. Plus six. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Have a good time. Nobody that's been banned from the broadcast has done more damage to the Masters than Jason Day's pants and Garcia's outfit from yesterday. He looked like the Masters logo.
It's a little thing called style. Look it up sometime.
So the Ryder Cup outfits have been released today. A little fashion for you. Yeah, the Bills lost 38-0 to the Bears in a preseason game. You want to tell us it doesn't matter? Fine. We could talk about golf outfits. Anyway, the Ryder Cup's out. One of the shirts that I like looks like the wax paper cup concession 80s, but with red, white, and blue. It's fine. Also, I have a bit of free advice for the Bills here right now. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want people talking about that 38-0 beatdown in Chicago, nationally televised. Wow, the Bills really didn't show up. They're terrible. I know, meaningless game. Here's my piece of advice for the Bills. leak something from the rivalry's uniforms today. Go. We'll forget about that game in a heartbeat. Ooh, look. Is that a iced over Buffalo? Those come out in 10 days.
10 days. 10 days. I can't wait.
10 days to the rivalry uniforms.
Run to the Bills store to get one of those. Although, I don't know who. You said you're thinking Dawkins for your next jersey?
Yeah. When the time comes.
I think Taron Johnson is a move here. Not if Taron Johnson's out there in the wild. Taron Johnson jerseys.
I think also.
If they had a Wall of Fame at the next stadium, he'd be a Bills Wall of Famer.
He should. So should Dawkins. Here's a question I've never thought. Is there a chart expected jersey by age? And as you get older, you're like, you know what? It's time to honor the offensive line. You know, your first jersey is not a lineman. No. Your first jersey's quarterback, receiver, running back. Then you're like, you know what? Nickel corner, safety. I have respect for line. And then as you get older and older, the final stage of jersey purchasing, not for everybody, but just by the numbers of it, like, it's time to honor the lineman. I'm ready. I'm going to get a guard.
Yeah, this is probably right. I don't remember as a kid thinking about getting a Langston Walker jersey. Don't think it ever came up as a consideration.
You had Derek Dockery.
Derek Dockery, of course. Yeah, I might have thought about Jeff Hangartner.
Hold on.
Would have been a good one.
You were big. You were big on Chris Valerial.
Oh, I loved Chris. Chris Valerial and Jonas Jennings. What a duo. My brother should have got a Jonas Jennings jersey, and I got a Chris Valerial jersey when we were eight. You wouldn't have seen any eight-year-olds walking around with those jerseys.
I want to get one more really good offensive lineman pull here.
From like the early 2000s?
The drought free agent offensive lineman signings.
What about like signings specifically?
I got mine. I got it. I, of course, never got, but really wanted a Trey Teague jersey.
Trey Teague.
And I'm done. I'm done there.
Trey Teague is great. Yep. 70 at center. Yep, I remember him.
Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Good morning. The Bills got absolutely waxed.
It would have been if it were a regular season game, which obviously it was not, but if it were, it would have been the third worst yards disparity in Bills history. They got outgained by 348. They got outgained by 352 in a game in 1971.
Is there a recent one we could think about?
2012 is the worst the Bills have ever been outgained ever.
Okay, I have a guess.
Okay.
San Francisco. Yes.
October 7th of 2012.
They gave up 300 yards passing and rushing that day.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They were outgained.
It's amazing.
The Bills were outgained in that game 621 to 204. 621 to 204. And they lost 45-3.
Think of how hard it is to give up 300 yards passing and rushing. 300 yards rushing. Wow, what happened in the game? The quarterback must have not done anything. No, he threw for 300 too.
Right.
What a game.
Alex Smith threw for 300, ran for 49.
Is the final score?
Kaepernick came in and ran for 40.
Is the final score 41-10?
45-3.
Okay.
Worst.
Worse, yeah.
Worse than that.
I give him too much credit.
Harbaugh against Gailey. Yeah, look at this box score. That was a minus 417. Nothing's ever come close to that. The next worst, there really isn't a lot of recent bad ones. Amazingly, like throughout the drought. Like they got outgained by 286 against Denver in 2007, and they only lost 15-14.
Is that that's the Jason Elam Kevin Everett game?
2007?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. They were outgained by 268 in that game. And then the most they've ever been outgained in a win. 2009 against Carolina. They're outgained by 258. 20-9? Any memory of that?
Nothing.
Me neither. But last night was minus 348. Preseason game.
I have a challenge for everyone. Real answers only. How should they approach the final preseason game? You're probably not allowed to say, we're not coming. If this were anything else in your life, you would just call in sick. You would say,
oh, yeah.
My kids are sick. My car broke down. Plane got a flat tire. You would just not go to this kind of commitment.
Plane got a flat tire?
Sure. You can't take off if it's got a flat tire.
Yeah.
How can they not go? Let's not go. Are the Bills having that conversation today in the office? Guys, what if we didn't go?
Yeah.
What would happen? We losing a draft pick? We're losing money. Is there a fine?
What would they lose?
What would have the Bills have?
What
said
are they going to lose? A sixth round pick or a seventh round pick?
I don't know.
Hey, they just used a seventh round pick on a receiver that we haven't said one word about like the whole summer, and he's not going to make the team. It's like whatever. Give him a seventh. If it cost a seventh to skip the game, I'd give him a seventh. Go ahead, take it. Just don't give it to like the Chiefs.
Wouldn't it be wild if you could do that? Trade a preseason game. Because what do the Bucs want? They want to sell. They've sold tickets to this game.
Right.
They're going to have concessions.
Right, there'd be
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Fine. You have to, when you have to pay the Bucks money if you just didn't show up.
Just write like $250,000. Here. We don't want to come. Send a card. It's like you get an invitation to a wedding. You don't want to go. You just send it anyway. Just send them a card. We're not going. Send the Bucks a card.
Yeah.
How are they going to get through this game? What if they lose worse?
Guys, breaking news. The Bills are running a contest that it says here that 53 of their luckiest season ticket holders will have the opportunity to live the dream of being a Buffalo Bill for one day.
Would you like to catch passes from Shane Buchel?
He's the one Bill that has to play.
He's got
to
play.
The quarterback's got to be someone who could throw the ball. Yeah.
803-0550. Hey, get ready.
The Bucs decide to play Vita Vea.
At quarterback?
Anything.
Yeah. Get ready for the inaugural Back Tee Classic coming up Monday, September 29th at Gowanda Country Club. Full day of golf, community giving back. A car giveaway on par three and hole in one. $10,000 cash prize. Putting contests, raffles, silent auctions, and more. And all proceeds go to the Spina Bifida Clinic at Oshai Children's Hospital. Spots are limited. Register at backtgolfclassic.com and help make a difference. It's at Gowanda. Boy, Gowanda, September 29th. It's a nice round of fall golf for you.
Yeah.
So a fall golf scramble. The inaugural Back Tee Golf Classic, again, to benefit Spina Bifida Clinic at Oshai Children's Hospital. So go to backtgolfclassic.com for that. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Be excited about this year's team and excited about this play call, fellas.
What do we got?
Yeah, what do we have? A fast motion. Oh, no.
Brosmer, flag, play action, right.
Coming back.
That's Kevin O'Connell. Vikings head coach is mic'd up during their preseason game. Excited about this team, guys. Excited about this play call. Oh, what do we got? Speed motion. Oh, God. He says that because two receivers move at the same time.
Yeah, illegal.
The motion man and then the guy on the end of the line, like, reset.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, bleep me. He knows it doesn't count. You know, on the broadcast, just, oh, yeah, complete. And the horn goes
the
off.
The horn.
There's the flag. It's coming back. I loved it. What a highlight. Just...
It's awesome.
Just, you know, the coach before the snap. Excited about this play. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Look at these idiots out there. You know, anyway.
The kind of stuff we're looking for from Hard Knocks.
That's right.
We?
That, by the way, last night's game on Hard Knocks
should be good.
I just made a bunch of noises there. It didn't make sense, but hey, it'll be interesting.
Should be interesting.
Should be. So, one other thing that happened in the league. Over the weekend, fantasy football. There's a highlight of Geno Smith throwing a pass to Brock Bowers, who like mosses a guy.
Yep.
And Brock Bowers shaved his head.
Yes, he did.
Which has led to, potentially, I think, the greatest fantasy nickname we got.
Because he shaved his head?
Yes. Jordan Rodrigue.
Not the Brockness monster?
No. That was a nickname he had, right? The Brockness monster?
I think it was Brock Osweiler's nickname, actually. Okay, there was a whole bunch of those.
Well, let me tell you. Jordan Rodrigue tweeted out, she gave the nickname and said, is this anything? And a lot of people, myself included, I was like, yes. Brock Bowers, this nickname should stick.
Okay, I'm excited.
You ready for it?
Yes, I'm excited.
He's now a bald freak show tight end.
Yeah.
Flex Luther. It's so good.
Flex Luther?
Flex Luther. What are you worried about over there?
Flex Luther is good.
It's great.
It's good. He's got to have big biceps.
Flex
for that to work.
Lex
right?
Luthor does.
Oh, you're doing flex. That you're saying fantasy football. Nick
fantasy football.
Like a flex position.
Lex Luthor because he's bald.
Right.
He's Flex Luthor.
You're playing. You can play. Yeah. It'd be better if he was like the most muscular tight end in the league.
And he could flex on people.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he flexes on people, and that's when they start calling him Flex Luthor.
You know what? He should start flexing.
I think
when
he
gets
should.
First downs. He should. And then he'll just be Flex Luthor.
Is he the most built tight end in the league?
I don't know.
He's big. Who does that go to right now? Trey McBride would be the answer to this question. Brock Bowers. I'm looking at him. No, can't be. Can't be Flex Luthor.
Why?
Needs bigger arms.
You have to be bald. The joke is about being bald.
I know, but you know. It's a good nickname.
Can't do anything.
I liked Brockness Monster better.
Oh, because he's Scottish?
I don't know that he's Scottish.
I don't know either. He might be. Probably not.
You could do a lot with Brock.
Yes, it is a very nicknameable name. You could have a lot of fun with that.
The Brocket Launcher. These are old Osweiler nicknames that I'm finding here. Brocket Power. Brocktoberfest.
Flex Luthor. I thought we had something.
It is good. No, it is good. I like it. I got to put him at my flex then? I'm taking it way too literally. I'm so deep in so many fantasy leagues right now because they're all drafting within 4 days of each other.
Yeah.
Let's spread them out, people. A little bit.
I had a draft last night.
Vampire. Favorite pick?
Derrick Henry in the second round.
I mean, that's tough. That's tough to beat.
Tough to beat. 803-0550 is our phone number. We got to check in with some Bills opponents. We're going to do 14 teams in 14 days leading up to the regular season. So we'll check in with all the teams Bills are going to play, one a day. Your thoughts on the safety conversation, which it really might be something right now. Sal kind of opened that door for us a little bit more. 803-0550 on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.